Today's daf is daf ayin vav, but we are going to backtrack a little bit, and we're in the middle of a sugya. So, just as a background for what we're up to, the Mishnah on the beginning of ayin hey, sorry, the end of ayin hey, and aleph, was describing if the husband finds any mumim, so who has to bring their raya at what point? So, if the mumim existed on her before they ever got engaged, and he gets married, is a mekachtal. So he should have known about the mumim, and the mumim were there when he got married, so it's a mekachtal. But if the mumim only had developed on her after they were already engaged, so then he does not have to, that's his fault. It changed when he was ready, once it was under his ownership, that's when things changed. The question is, who has to bring the raya when it happened? So they're married now, and they're mumim. Well, did the mumim exist before they ever got engaged? In which case, it's a mekachtos. Or did the mumim only develop afterwards? Who has to bring the raya?
And it cannot be pre-existing, because he checked it up. If it's galui, you see. If it's not galui, you send his
code. Exactly, exactly. So Gemara talks, Mishnah talks about those in Yonim. So it's a situation where it wasn't known, it was Beseser, and then there was no Beis HaMerchatz in the city. There's no way for him to find out until he actually got married where the Mumim were. So the Mishnah's Mechalik, at one point, seemed to say that the father has to bring, the burden of proof is on the father to bring. On the other hand, it says that the husband has to bring the proof that it developed before he had gotten married. So we're trying to figure out, that's a stira. Is it up to the father? Who do we trust? The father, do we trust the husband? Is it Rabbi Yeshua or Rabbi Gamliel? So let's take it, may be worthwhile just to take it from Ayin Hayim and Beis, where Rava suggests the following reason. It's around 15 lines up. First word on the line, Rava Amar. Reisha, the case of a Reisha, is Kan Nimtzu V'Kan Hayu. The case of the Reisha is where it was developed, it was discovered rather, while she was Bebeis Avia. After they already got engaged, but they discovered already in Bebeis Avia, so then that's where the Mumim were. They said, since it was found in Bebeis Avia, therefore probably happened even before she was engaged. It must have happened in the house of the father. And therefore the burden proof is on the father to say that she never had a Mumim until after she got engaged. But in contrast to that, the Seifa, where we say the husband has to bring proof, it's Seifa Nami Kan Nimtzu V'Kan Hayu, where they discovered the Mumim only after she entered the house of her husband, the Beis Baila. And we're going to say, oh, since it was discovered in the Beis Baila, probably developed while being in the Beis Baila. And it's his responsibility, the husband has to prove that they existed before they ever got engaged. That's the answer according to Rava. Where did they discover the Mumim tells you where probably when it probably developed. The where tells you when. So the Gemara asks on Rava, Eisive Abaye, Abaye challenges this. The Mishnah says, Nichnas al Rishus Habal, if she enters the Rishus of the Baal, Habal Tzarech lo havi raya, the husband has to bring a proof, She'ad shelo tisares, Hayuba Mumim. Before he already got engaged, the Mumim already exists. Elu. V'hayu mechachtos, and it was a mistake. They existed from the time she was born, or at least before we got engaged. So the Gemara says, Ad shelo tisares, only if he claims that they didn't they existed before they got engaged. But only then does he have a gatina. But misha tisares, lo. But once they got engaged, then the husband has no claim anymore. Vamai, why is that the case? Lema kan nimtzu v'kan hayu. It's possible, according to what Rava said, they could have gotten engaged already, but she was still living in her father's house because they weren't married yet. So she's living in her own father's house. And according to Rava, if you discover them while being in the father's house, we're going to assume it existed even before they got engaged in the father's house. But the Gemara is not mechalik which house she's in. The Mishnah is mechalik if they got engaged or not. So even if they got engaged and she's still living in her father's house, the husband still has to bring the proof. It's not going to be kan nimtzu v'kan hayu, that here was found while she's in the father's house, so it must have happened even before they got engaged. The Mishnah doesn't indicate that at all. Because according to Rava, what would happen is, if she's in the father's house, whether before engagement or even after engagement, it's the burden of proof is on the father. But the Gemara says no. It's all about engagement, not about where she is. So now the Rava suggests, okay, what I'm saying is still true. Amar Lei, really, if the mum was discovered while in the father's house, the father has to bring the raya. Ah, so why when they got engaged, does the husband have to bring the raya, even if she's in the father's house? Because there's another chazak at play here. Amrlei mishin nisar. So once she gets engaged, mishum d'ikla meimar chazaka in adam shosa bekos elim kain bodka. There's a klal that a person's not going to drink from the coast, which is a nice way of saying getting married to a woman, unless he checked her out first, the high Rav and Nefayasu. Since he got engaged, he clearly investigated and did research and was aware of a mum existing, and he was okay with it. He wouldn't have gotten engaged had he not been okay with it. So you're right in theory, if the mum was discovered while in the father's house, it probably always existed in the father's house, and even when she got engaged, it should also still be the burden proof of the husband, of the father, but there's an implicit mechila on behalf of the husband. He says, the fact that he went engaged with, got engaged with her anymore, anyway, we assume he did the bedika first, he must have checked it out. So why did he get engaged? Because he was okay with it, he was mochel in any moment. That's why after engagement he's okay with it. So then the Gemara says, Ihach, if that's the case, Achil tis'aris nami. Even before they got engaged, he would have investigated before he got engaged who he was getting married to. And the fact that he didn't do the fact that he was okay with it, even if the mum existed before engagement, the fact that he got engaged later on would have been okay because he would have done the research before he got engaged, so he would have been mochel as well. So El Gemara says it's a different chazaka. El amrinan chazaka in adam mifayis b'mumim, hachanami chazaka in adam mifayis b'mumim. No. A person is not willing to be mochel on mumim. A person is not going to be okay dealing with a certain mum that his wife has. So that's not klal at all. You can't say a person knew about the mum and was okay. The fact that he got engaged clearly shows he was not aware of the mum at all, because had he been aware, he would not have gotten engaged. So again, the question becomes, so why after engagement, if they only discovered it after they were engaged, why was the husband willing to marry her? Why is that burden of proof turn over to the husband now? It should still be in the file. I know it's very confusing. I'm doing the best I can. So the Gemara says, Ela Mishnis Arisa, once she gets engaged, there Mishum De'ika Tarti Chazaka. There are two Chazakas at play here. Chazaka Hemed Hagufa Chazkasa. So they discover, what happens is, after she gets engaged, she's still in the father's house. They discover the Mumim. We say, the husband has to figure this out now. Has to find that burden of proof is on the husband. But why? She's in the father's house. We assume it always happened in the father's house. No. Because there are two chazakas. One is that before we discover the mumim, she had a cheskas tara. She had a cheskas natamim. She had no mumim beforehand. That's one chazaka. Chazaka number two is, chazaka ein adam shosak bekos el imkein bodko v'hai rav nifayis. Number two is that a person always investigates all the mumim, and he wouldn't get married unless he checked the mumim. The fact that he went ahead and got, he got married to her shows us that he was okay, he was mochel with it.
I would disagree.
But what we said, wait, but the Gemara says, wait a second. But my Amos, what would you say back to that second chazaka? We said, already said, chazaka ein adam mifayis b'mumim habe. So we already neutralized the second chazaka. A person is not willing to be mochel mumim. He clearly didn't know about it. So we've neutralized the second chazaka now. That person would have known about it and been mochel, but then we said people are not mochel mumim. So the Gemara says, chad b'makom tarti, v'chad b'makom tarti lo amrinim. So we have one chazaka up against two chazakas, and one against two we don't say. So there are two chazakas that are working in her favor, and there's one chazaka working in his favor.
Are we talking here about the case where she is in her father's house, Arusa?
Yes.
Right. But the other two is simple.
If it's a case where she's in the husband's house, the husband has to bring the burden proof is on the husband. If it's while she's right. in the father's house, the father has to bring proof. But since they get engaged, even though they're in the father's house, it somehow shifts over to the husband. So why did it shift over to the husband if it's still in the father's house? Because there are two chazakas in her favor against one chazaka in his favor. The two chazakas in her favor are that, number one, is before this point of discovery, she had a chezkas taras aguf. She was tahor. She had no mumim. Number two is a person won't get married unless he checks her out first. So we assume he checked her out and was okay. And he was mochel. Those are two chazakas in her favor. There's one chazak in his favor that people are not mefais on mumim. People are not okay with mumim.
Not true.
It's two against one. So therefore, two against one. So therefore, she wins out. She wins out. And therefore, he has to bring the proof that the mumim were always there even before engagement. Okay. So the Gemara says, now, going further along these lines of the chazakos, ad shalot, two lines down from ayin vav amin aleph. Now, ad shalot tis ares, before they got engaged, hemed guf al chazakaso loik lememar ma'ika. So before they get engaged, you cannot suggest the chazaka that hemed guf al chazakaso,
this what's the Gemara trying to tell us? It's this is still part of the Raya, or
right now we're, I think we're going through. I think it's no longer the Raya. I think we're explaining in a situation.
If he brings Edim that they saw the moon, that's what the
Gemara. However, the Edim, if Rashi explains, if there are Edim that the moon existed before they got engaged. So let's say he goes ahead and brings Raya. He brings Edim that the Mumim always existed before they got engaged. So he wants to walk through how does this work. So if it's the Edim say, Ash lo tisaris, that the Mumim existed before they got engaged, so hemen haguf al chezkasa lo ikal meimar. You've already, now we've neutralized that she always had this pre-existing chazaka of being tar. That doesn't exist because the Edom just countered that. The Edom said she always had this, or at least she had them before she got engaged. So that knocks out one of the chazakas. So then chazaka, ein adam, shows the bekos elam kein bodka v'hai rav nifais. So we're left with one chazaka in his favor, in her favor. What? So Ma'ika, so what do we have left over? We have the chazak of the Ein Adam Shosef Bekos Elam Kein Bodka Bahai Rav Nefais. Who? People don't get married unless they look into her. They check her out and make sure they're no mumim. The fact that he got engaged clearly tells us that he did the research, but he was mochel. But then we have something in her favor. Adar Abba, chazak Ein Adam Nefais B'mumim. And then we have another chazak that people are not ever Nefais. People are not ever being mochel on mumim. So we have one chazak in his favor, one chazak in her favor. They neutralize each other. So
but
we have no.
You're saying that Ein Adam Shoteh Bechos Elam Kein Bodka. How can you say Ein Adam Faisa B'Mumim?
Yeah.
So he was engaged. He was mochel. So he does mochel on Mumim.
Right.
So what's the second chazak?
So, right. So it's a very good question. I'm not sure how to explain this. But apparently there are two types of chazakas.
It depends on the Mumim, really. If you think about it. Depends on the Mumim, then you can say two chazakas. Mm-hmm. The Mumim that. Doesn't matter, you're not mochel.
Uh-huh.
The moment that you do mochel. So if moment that you can be mochel, ein adam shote bechosel em ken botko. And he was mochel. But some things, you know, he didn't know, he found out. And for that, I don't know what's the example. That's why mashal is always a good way to make it clearer.
Right. Now, I hear. You have to say something like that probably depends on the mum of some sort. Does the article have any explanation of these chazakos? I hear. Okay, either way, these two chazakas neutralize each other. I hear that it seems to be contradictory, and it might depend on the moment, but very simply, at face value, these chazakas neutralize each other. And therefore, what are we left with? Now we're at a stalemate between him and her. So the Gemara says, what do we have to do? Vehem in mamona chazkasa, we have to leave the money in status quo until we find a good proof otherwise. Right. Okay. So that's all how we explain the Shita of Rava. Comes along Rav Ashi. Now Rav Ashi suggests another explanation of the Mishnah. Again, the Mishnah had a stira. Do we try if he discovered Mumim? So do we say the burden of proof is on him that the Mumim existed before engagement, or is the burden of proof on her that it was only developed after they've gotten engaged? So Rav Ashi's suggestion is as follows. Rav Ashi, Amar Resha Mana La'ava Biyadecha, V'Seifa Mana Li Biyadecha. The question is, who is the party, who is arguing here? Is it the husband versus the father, or is the husband versus the wife? If it's the husband versus the father, then the father cannot use his daughter's chazaka as a taina, because she's not at play. She might be an object right at this point, but she's not one of the subjects arguing. It's the father versus... So if it's a point of engagement where they only got engaged, so who receives the engagement money? The father gets all the engagement money. So it's the father versus him, and her chazaka is not relevant. But if it's a point where she got married already to a husband, and now she's the party arguing against her husband, so then she can use her own chazaka as one of the relevant proofs and arguments.
Uh-huh, so the hope that's his proof.
That's his proof.
Meaning that's the full proof that by the time that when she's arusa by the father, it's
father versus husband.
He has zero chazaka.
Right.
And by the Baal, she has a chazaka.
Exactly. Uh-huh. I didn't look into it. It requires a lot. I'm not sure. Even when the father's being towing from the husband, I'm not sure why he can't use her. But I understand there's a difference between the cases.
Right.
But I don't understand it. There's a lot to go through, a lot of tosis in. I'm not sure there's a lot to discuss here. But again, at face value, there's a difference that when the husband is the party, then he cannot use his daughter. chazaka to strengthen his claim. Only when she becomes the other side can she use herself as a chazaka. So the Gemara asks now, Isivei Rav Acha braid Rav Avia le Rav Ashi, they challenge Rav Ashi. Mode Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir agrees. B'mumim haruyin lavo ima mi beis avia she'al avia lahavi raya. If it's a mum that's possible to be developed on her while being in the house of her father, which I guess would be most mumim, so then the father has to bring the raya. That didn't happen, even though it was possible that it could have happened, it could have developed in his house. He has to bring the raya. That didn't happen in my house. It happened when she got engaged. Yeah.
Just notice the Gemara doesn't bring examples.
Right, the Gemara is actually about to bring an example, but you're right. The Gemara doesn't.
You know,
yeah.
Chassidut brings a lot of mishalim.
Yeah.
If you understand the Indian, the Gemara doesn't do that.
It's very abstract. You're right.
The Gemara was specifically written so it shouldn't be simple.
No. No, in regard to simple to the concept, in regards to understanding. So you bring a mashal from your everyday life. And oh, that's what it means.
Yeah. I hear.
The Chassidut do the opposite.
So the Gemara says, so on this point, that if it's again, if it's a mum that could have developed while in her father's house, so then her father has to bring the raya that it didn't happen while in my house, it happened when she got engaged. So on that, they ask, against Rav Ashi, v'amai, why is it true? Mana li biodecha hu? It's a case of mana li biodecha hu. And Rashi says, v'neima hemen haguf al chaskaso. And say that the guf was a chazak, previous chazak of not having any mumen. So even if it is a case that could have developed in the father's house, if she's already married now, so she could just simply say, "My I have a chazkas guf."
So is that the question? Is
yeah. Across the board, even if a case where she...
Isn't it the question that if it's a mum that could have happened in her father's house, it's still irrelevant because she's not a subject on the discussion.
The Gemara is saying, if you look at Rashi, you see Rashi Modi Rabbi Meir Garcin and Betosefta. It's around halfway down the narrow lines. He says Avagav Damar Nichnasel Rishu Sabal. Even though she already got married to the husband, Al Habal Aviraya Modi Hu Bimum Harun Lavo Imo. That if it's a mum though, even though they got married, and once they get married, we have her. She has now the chazkas guf. She could use her chazaka to prove herself being tohar and being non-mum. So if it's a type of mum that could have developed in the house of her father, then that does weaken her chazaka. But why shouldn't we simply say she's a cheskas guf? Who cares what type of mum it is? She's a cheskas guf. So that the Gemara says, and isn't she, it's a case of mani li biodecha, where she's now the other party, and she could use her cheskas guf. So why are we saying, oh, but if it's a mum that could have happened in her father's house, she'd lose her cheskas guf? It shouldn't be a relevant factor. The Gemara says, no, you're right. Normally, she gets, when she is the one against him, she gets married and she's arguing against her husband, she can use her cheskas guf. But halachah maskin, in this particular case where Rabbi Meir's moda, is a very unique, not unique, but it's a very specific type of mum. Askinan b'yaseros, Rashi explains, b'yaseros is an etzba yaseros. She had a sixth finger, deleka memor la'achar eiris nolad. She couldn't claim that it was developed after she was engaged. This is clearly a type of mum that existed from the time she was born. But normally, if she gets married, then she has cheskas guf. I never had a problem before. You proved to me that this mum existed before we got married. Let's say something developed like bad breath. We spoke about yesterday's daf. Bad breath or something like that. Which is not something that necessarily comes from birth. So maybe it only developed after she was married. So we're married now. Bring me a proof. I had a cheskas guf. Bring me a proof that it existed before we got engaged. But if it's a clear mum that existed from birth, then he has to bring, so rather, then she has to bring the raya, or the father has to bring the raya, that it it somehow developed after the engagement. Gemara says, Yeseros, my raya, my. So what kind of raya are you going to bring that she grew a sixth finger after she was engaged? That's obviously impossible. What's the Gemara suggesting? How do you bring such a raya? That can't happen. So the Gemara says, "Maisi raya derav nifaisu." You could bring a raya that the husband knew about the sixth finger and was okay and was mifais it. And the husband's going to say, no, I never knew about this. She was always wearing gloves, or she was always covering up the sixth finger. I never knew about this. So that's the argument. They're not arguing about whether the mum existed or not, because you can't say that by Yiseros. They're arguing about whether or not he was mifais, whether he was okay, whether he was mochel in such a mum.
Isn't when it says here, she has to bring a proof because the man is her. Why should Once she's by the husband's house, it should be she who brings the raya, not the father. Or we're talking about the katana here.
It's a good question. She should be bringing the proof, not the father. I mean, they're both in agreement that the husband doesn't have to bring the proof, but the question is the accuracy, whether it's her or father. I'm not sure. Okay, there's two dots now. The Gemara says, Amar of Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. Ha-machlif para b'chamor. So someone, let's say Ricky, you know, like David doesn't like when I use him as examples. So Ricky has a donkey and I have a cow. And I always, by the way, if I had not mentioned to you in the past, I always wanted to do the mitzvah petah chamor. So he has a firstborn donkey in his possession. He's willing to trade it for my cow. So I say, okay, take my cow, I'll take your donkey. So mashach bal ha-chamor. So the owner of the donkey, that's Ricky, he takes esapar, you take my cow. But I didn't have a chance yet to take my donkey. What happens is, after Ricky takes my cow, the donkey dies in his possession. I'm left with nothing. He has my cow. I have no donkey anymore. So, al habal hachamor, lahavi raya, shehaya chamor kayim b'shas meshichas par. The owner of the donkey, Ricky, has to bring a proof that the donkey was still alive at the moment that he took my cow. Because let's say the donkey died first, and then he took my cow. It wasn't a fair trade because there's no kinin. The donkey died before the kinin. He has to prove that he did chalip and he pulled my cow away while the donkey was still alive. Only after that, then the donkey died. Even though I didn't pull it, but it was mine. It was my owner, my ownership that the donkey had died. So he has to bring that raya. So again, al bal chamor, the owner of the donkey, has to lahavi raya shaya chamor kain that the donkey was alive b'shah shemeshich aspar when he pulled the cow. And on this line, on the statement of the Tana Tuna Kala. And the case of the Kala is a raya for this concept. So what's the case of the Kala?
Are we starting a whole new subject here? Or it's...
No, we're going to bring a raya from our mission about the case of the Kala and the Mumim. At what point, who has to bring the raya is going to support this Gemara right now.
So what do we have two dots here for?
Well, we'll see in a second.
We finish this thing, it says Raya, the Rav, and it's Pilus, right? Only said.
Yeah, that's the end of a concept that we had three or four different answers how to explain the Mishnah. Who has to bring the Raya? Now we're going to a new point, but it's going to be connected.
But according to this one, to Ravacha, brother Ravashi, right? This is the whole. So when it says Rav Ashi, he explains the mission in a whole different way.
Correct. Okay. Right. So now it's Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel saying a different case, but it's going to be related, that who has to bring the raya when the donkey dies? So the way he paskins is that the Baal Chamor, the owner of the donkey, has to prove that that the Chamor was alive before while he pulled over the cow, it was still alive, so his acquisition of the cow was a good acquisition. And the last line of the Amud says, V'tana Tuna Kala. And a support for this concept is the Braisa, or the mission about the Kala. The Kala refers to our Mishnah. Our Mishnah somehow about the Kala having mumin before engagement, after engagement, in the father's house, in the husband's house, all that discussion we'll see in a second, somehow serves as a raya for this concept of pulling over the chamor, the para, in order to acquire the donkey.
The Kala is the chamor, the para.
So says the Gemara. Hey, Kala, which Kala? So which case of the Kala are we talking about? Elaim, we're going to need to hold back on this Rashi, I think, but we might have to turn back to Amud Aleph. But switching to Amud Beis for a second, turning the page. Elaim, Kala b'beis avia. If it's a case of the Kala that's in the house of the father, so that's the comparison, that's the proof. Where the Rashi explains, if she's still in the house of her father, so then the father has to bring a raya that the mumim only developed after they got engaged. They didn't exist before engagement. So it's the father's burden of proof. If that's the comparison, so then the Gemara says, midami, hasa maisi avraya ummafik. There, the father is the one bringing a raya, and he's being mafik. While he's being mafik, the husband has to pay money to the daughter. Right. If he divorces the daughter, he says, I can't handle these mumim, so the husband has to pay off because it was after engagement that these mumim developed. He's bringing a raya to be motzi money, As opposed to hacha, here by the case of the chamor and the para, hacha, it's a situation where maisi bala chamor raya umokim. The owner of the donkey, Ricky in this case, is bringing raya to keep his acquisition, to make sure his acquisition is a good one, not to be motzi mamon, but to be mokim it, to keep it at status quo. So it can't be that case. So Amar Rabbi Abba, Abba says it's the case of Kalab Beis Chameha, when she's in her father-in-law's house, in other words, her husband's house, where the husband has to bring the proof that the mumim existed before engagement. V'akati lo dami, that case is also not similar to the case of the Chamor and the Parawai. Hosam Baal, there the husband, Maisi Rai, brings a Rai, Umeri lo lechazkagdav, it brings a proof to ruin the chazaka of the Av, that there's a chazaka that she was Tahor, that she had cheskas guf, and he's coming to break that chazaka. But hacha, here by the chamor and the para, bal chamor maisi raya umokim chazaka biyada. Here he's bringing raya to support his chazaka. So it's not comparable to either one of those cases of the kala, because again, bal chamor and the bal para, both times he's bringing raya to keep his acquisition. By the case of kala, whether it's in the house of the father or the house of the husband, it's coming to ruin something or to bring out money. So therefore, it doesn't seem to support. So Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Kala Bebeis Aviyah Ule Kedushin. It's talking about a situation where the Kala is still in the house of her father, and it's for the purposes of Kedushin. What does that mean, Ule Kedushin?
He gets money from Kedushin, the father of the bride? I thought he gave Nidunya.
No, there's a lot of transferring of money, but he get the kesef kedushin. That's the kesef that's being acquired, that's given for the kedushin, goes to the father if she's a katana.
Is it allowed?
That's the halacha. Midrash, that's how it works.
Is it allowed?
A lot of money. Oh no, it doesn't have shava pruta. At least that's all it has to be. Oh. It could be more, but all it has to be is shava pruta.
כלומר, לדבר ישוע לא רק שאף צריך להביא ראייה כדי לגבות את הכתובה, אלא בנוסף לכך, עליו להביא ראייה כדי להמשיך להחזיק את הכסף שקיבל עבור הקידושין.
Money that he received already, he's bringing a raya that I'm keeping that money of Kedushin, not talking about the money of Ksuba.
Right, not only does he have to improve to collect the Ksuba, but even the money that he received, unless he brings a raya, he cannot keep it.
Right, so if he's trying to bring the raya to keep the kesef kedushin, just like the baal chamor is bringing raya to keep the para that he pulled. Right. We're trying to keep it. So that, with respect to kedushin, it is maintaining, it is being mokim the money. And then the Gemara says, "V'lo tema, don't say this is only aliba demandam or kedushin lav litibun nisnu. Ela afil mandam or kedushin litibun nisnu. Hani mi the kedushin vaday va kedushin tos imaisi rayin ila laolo." So what does that mean? Don't say that this is only working according to the opinion that says Kedushin are not litivuvin nisnu, which means they're not given for purpose of using.
They're not as a gift.
Uh-huh.
Meaning, ve'im met ha-katan kodem l'nisuin, al ha-kala le'achsir et ha-kesef ha-kidushin le'yorshav.
Right, I see Rashi says it also. Okay, so even if the money is not given as litivuvin, as you says, a matana, or even to be used, they're simply there, what, as a collateral of some sort? That if the husband dies and they didn't never make it to nisuin, then the kesef returns back to his family, it sounds like. Ela, even if it's according back to the Gemara, ela afilu mandamar kedushin litivuvin isnu, even if it's money was given for use, hani mili kedushe vadai, that's only by kedushe vadai, where they definitely had Kedushin, of Al Kedushin Tos, it was based on some type of mistake that there may have been Mumim. So then, E Maisi Raya in E Lo Lo. Only if you bring a Raya are you allowed to keep it. But if you don't bring a Raya, then you're not allowed to keep it. So that's why the father, is bringing a Raya that the Mumim only developed after Kedushin, and he's allowed to keep the Kesef of Kedushin. That's what the Gemara points out. So that's how we see that this Mishnah about the Kala is a support for the concept of Baal Chamor and the Baal Parah. Asks the Gemara Mesive, Mochat Shenimtas Be'ovi Beis HaKosos. If there's a needle that's found somewhere in the stomach area, I don't know what they're called, the technical terms, but in the stomach area of a cow or an animal, which is pretty common, they would eat the grass.
But the raya that we're bringing now, he tried to prove that the case of the... What would be the havemina to prove one with the other? It's saying there is no havemina to prove. That's the whole thing. And only in one, meaning we're bringing a raya, Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's asking a question on our case on the Balachamar.
He's not asking a question, he just makes a statement. Yehuda brings a statement, makes a statement, that you, if you want to keep my cow, you have to bring a proof that the donkey was still alive when you pulled my cow.
Right, so there is nobody saying, so who brings the, just the Gemara plain brings the...
I'm not sure who said, I think he also says, and there's a raya from the Mishnah Bakala, Tana Tuna Kala.
Says,
okay. So where's the Mishnah, where's the raya? We said it rejected, the raya doesn't seem to be consistent. And to that, the Gemara says, no, it is, because it's where he's trying to maintain, keep the money, the Ketzel Kedushin in his possession. He's bringing a riot to hold on to the Ketzel Kedushin, just like the Baal Chamor is trying to bring a riot to hold on to the Parah.
Okay.
The burden of proof is on the one who's acquiring the money, acquiring the animal. So the Gemara asks, Meisive, Mocha Chenimtis Beove Beis Akosos, if there is a needle, which again was somewhat common, may still even be common, because you eat grass and all types of things are in the ground. So if it comes to the base of coast as part of the stomach or intestines area, mitad echad ksheira. If it punctures a hole in just one side, it's ksheira. That's not considered a trefa. But if it's a beove, if it's mishneitza, then if it pierces through both sides of it, makes a hole from one end to the other end, then that's considered trefa, and you cannot eat such an animal.
After the shechtet.
After the shechtet, they check various things, and they don't check all, there's a lot of trefas, I think, I don't remember how many, maybe 36 or so, and there are a lot of them, they don't check all of them, they only check the ones that are pretty common, like lungs is one that's pretty common, they have to blow into the lungs and make sure there's no holes in them. So, but let's say they happen, when they open it, they find a needle inside the intestines. So if it goes to only pierce one side, that's going to be okay, because it's probably going to seal itself around the hole, and then around the needle, it's going to be okay. But if it goes through two holes, makes one from one end to the other end, chances are the animal can't live for 12 months, it's considered trefa, and you can't eat it. Shechita is not good. Shechita won't help. So then the Gemara says, but let's say nimsa le kore dam, let's say you find some blood on this needle. It's clear that this puncture happened before shechita. But if it's lo nimtza le'karei dam, biyadushu la'achar shechita. But if there's no blood on the needle, it's completely clear, then it's yadua that it happened, no, the puncture only happened after shechita and would not affect it wouldn't be called a trefa. It only is a trefa while it's alive. If after they shechted the animal and someone stuck a needle inside the base of kosos, that's not going to call it a trefa because the animal was already dead, obviously. So, this, by the way, is something I once took a few-day seminar with the OU, Kashrus, and they talk about finding chickens oftentimes, not often, once in a while you might have a chicken that has a trefa, like a broken bone or something, and the chances are it's not going to ever make it over to, but it looks through so many different hashkachas look over it, chances are you'd never get it on your own table, but let's say you find a bone that's cracked in the middle, like a drumstick is cracked in the middle. If you see that looks like the bone has like blood spots or pretty dark around it, then it's assumed that happened while it's alive, and it could render it a trefa. If it's only broken afterwards and there are no blood spots afterwards, then it clearly happened afterwards. So much breaking could happen after it's already been shechted. So that's one of the signs. It's very, unless you're an expert, there's no way for you to know that a break happened before, if it was something that calls it a trefa. But remember, that's one of the things they told us, if there are blood spots or not. Okay, so then the Gemara says, if huglad piyamaka, if let's say it sealed itself, it developed a scab over that hole, so there was a needle inside the base kosas, but there was a scab covering it up, so then it was yadua shashosh yamim kodin shchita, that the needle punctured at least 3 days before, and because it takes 3 days to develop this type of scab, so it could have been 3 days, or even weeks, or even months, or years before him. But if it happened lo huglad piyamaka, if the maka did not develop some type of scab, then it's hamotzi mechaver al haraya. Then the burden of proof is on that. Then you have to prove that it happened. Which case is this here? Let's see.
It's the case.
Shein ladat im kvar haita trefa b'shat shekana hatabach.
Shekana. That the cook bought it. Meaning he bought a trefa or he bought a kosher. So if it's the maka, didn't get him,
who's bringing the raya here?
So we're talking about a case that somebody sold it to a cook.
The shochet. The shochet sold it to a cook, probably. The shochet shechted, and he sold it to a cook, okay.
Yeah.
And
so now he see, if he see this type of makah, and if lo glad, meaning if it's not healed, this type of makah, that prove that you can never know if it was tweifa while he bought it. Okay, then hamutzi mechaveru alav araya leavi the raya. The cook is holding the money because he said, hey, you have a pizza, no. You have a makah that didn't heal. Probably it was grateful before
it's,
I bought it.
It's the other way around.
It's not a cook. It's the a cook, farmer the, sells to the
right.
Shochet.
The cook already paid.
Now, not the, I don't think it's a cook. I think it's a guy who raises cows.
But tabach, the whatever.
So that's a shochet.
The shochet.
So I have a cow farm. And I sell to David, he's a shochet. So I sell it to you, and then you shecht it, you find the needle inside. And you say, wait a second, I sold you a tray for animal. So I have to pay you the money, the $1,000 back for the cow. So if it's a case, let's say we're developed a scab already over this, so we can know how many days away the needle was there. And chances are, it probably existed from a while ago, I have to pay the money back. But let's say there's no scab.
There's no proof, I'm talking about, right? Yeah? And then the guy, the shecht has to keep it. He cannot ask for the money back.
Exactly. Right.
That's why they pay on credit.
That's what? Credit card. That's American Express.
So, fine. So what do we see for all this? Now, V'i Yahiv Tabach Dmei Boi Lasi Raya Umafik. If the Shochet, who bought this animal, he didn't shecht it, but he bought it from the cow farmer, whatever you call it, people who raise cows. He gave the money ready. He needs to bring a Raya to get his money back from the Mocher. Vamai asks him, why is that true? Bal behema laisiraya vinokim. So no, it should really be the farmer, the mocher, should bring a raya that it happened only after he sold it to keep the money that he got. If we're saying the whole comparison above by the Baal Chamor and the husband and the wife is all about the one has to bring the raya to keep the money, so it's the mocher. I sold you the cow. I need to bring a raya to keep the money.
This is the question on the Dmei Kiddushim with the Baal Chamor. Is that going on that, or is going on what?
I think it's going back in both of them, where both previous cases of Kiddushim and the Baal Chamor was where the person who's keeping the money has to bring the raya in order to keep the money.
Right.
But here we're saying you have to bring the raya to take out to motzi the money. It seems to go on the other side. Now, there's obviously a larger discussion about who the burden proof is on, but we're going to try to just stick making it through the Gemara.
How come we didn't ask before Hamotzi Mechaver L'Raver Raya?
Well, the question is, who's Hamotzi Mechaver? Right. Motzi Mechaver sounds like the one who's taking out money. That's what it sounds like. The Pasha is the guy who takes out the money. Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not sure how this registers with the rest of this concept of Hamotzi Mechaver L'Raver Raya. I don't know. So the Gemara continues to say, it's a case of B'dilo Yov Tavcha Dimei. It's where the shochet hadn't paid for his money yet. So now the shochet brings Uriah to say, I don't have to pay because you sold me a lemon. So he's trying to keep the status quo of not having to pay money. He's not being moti money. He's being mokim. He's keeping his wallet, his bank account is going to remain the same. He doesn't have to pay for the lemon that was sold to him. So my pascha. So what's the shaila here? What's in terms of halacha? I mean, how could the way they explain here on the side is, how could it be so unclear? Rashi says, my pascha, this is four medium wide lines up. My pascha, bitmiya. My commerce, what exactly type of answer is this? Isvir le latana de la olam raya bal behema hi, bain hu mozi, bain hu hamaimid, hea hushon hamozi mechaveru, bal behema, vakare la bal behema, la olam hamozi mechaveru, hi pascha tana davar kotav li olam mochun behemos ba amuna, ba man of hu hamozi. So,
it's a very tough Gemara.
Yeah, very, very tough Gemara. I'll try to make it to two dots. What time is it? Try to still 15 minutes.
No, you have time. Let's try to understand.
Dove is out of time now. There's a chanos. I'm getting a chodesh. So, what's going on here? So, Gemara is very uncomfortable with this suggestion. My Pascha, let's read that Rashi again slower. Rashi says, my Pascha, bitmiya my commerce. Isvir le Tana, if the Tana is of the opinion, Dili olam raya al bal behema. If the raya, the burden of proof is always on the owner of the animal, he, bein hu amoti, bein hu amamid, whether or not he's trying to take out money, whether he's trying to keep his money, heyach hu shona hamoti mechaveru bebal behema, vikaraho lebal behema liol hamoti mechaveru. How could we teach I'm not sure what he's suggesting there. What they're explaining here on the side of the Masifta, at least, is how could the Braita suggest, it sounds like across the board, that the Mocher always, the Mocher has to bring the, that the Mocher sells his cow without receiving payment. Who does that? And even if people do that, it's certainly not the general rule that they take my cow, and if you like it, pay me the $1,000. No one's going to, everyone wants payment up front. So it's very difficult to say that this is a situation where no payment was given over. In order to just keep this consistency, that it's always the person who's bringing the raya in order to maintain, to keep his money. So Gemara is very uncomfortable with that. And therefore the Gemara says, Ella, ki osir Rami bar Yecheskel. When Rami bar Yecheskel came, he suggested, Amar, lo titaisinu lahani klal dekal Yehuda, achai mishmedishmu. We have this Gemara elsewhere, this phrase elsewhere. I assume that's what Rabbi Kivega is trying to tell us. He says, look, earlier we had this, and elsewhere, that do not listen to those rules that Yehuda, the brother, in the name of my brother, Yehuda said, in the name of Shmuel.
He said it
Hachi Amar Shmuel, kol shenolet safek birshuso, olav haraya. Anybody who's safek, who's the sveikus was developed, was discovered, the safek was developed in his rishus, then that person needs to bring the raya. So since the shochet, the mum was only discovered in his possession, then he has to bring the raya that it existed before he bought it. The tana tuna kala, and the raya is the kala, because the case of the kala is if they're in, if it's in the house of the father, so the father has to bring the raya. If it was discovered in the house of the husband, then the husband has to bring the raya. That's the kala. Wherever
the
son and the chamar. So what about the chamar? Let's see how that connects. Let's see. His new statement, let's see Rashi. Rashi, the first wide line down, or five lines from the bottom. Towards the end of the line, Kol Shenolot Tzavik Birshuso, Al Bal Hapara Lehavi Raya. The owner of the cow has to bring the proof. Shemesa Chamor Kodem Mishicha. Hol V'Tzavik Birshuso Nolot. It's his Rishus, because that El Shenol Nimsa Chamor Meis Ad La'achar Mishicha Parah.
Bala para, the Baal of the para has to bring a raya.
Mm-hmm. So me, you pulled my cow. I'm the owner of the cow, though. I need to bring a raya because the suffix is the opposite now. I need to bring a raya.
You already pulled the chamar.
You pulled my cow.
Yeah.
Then your donkey died, or we discovered the donkey was dead. You own the donkey, I own the cow.
Right, but it had to be pulling, otherwise it's still.
Yeah, no, you know, you pulled my cow. I didn't do anything. You pulled my cow, it's yours. Then we discovered that we go to your backyard and the donkey's dead. When did this happen? Well, we say the suffix was only discovered after you pulled my cow,
Right. Which
means the donkey is really in my rishus. I need to prove that it died before you pulled the cow.
No. The Baal HaPara.
I
pulled the cow.
Right, but I'm the Baal HaPara, though.
Right, you are the Baal HaPara. So right. I pulled the cow.
And then we saw, I went to get my donkey from you, and then the donkey's dead.
Okay.
So that suffix was only discovered after you pulled my cow. Which means that if you pull my cow, that means Mimela, I own the donkey.
So it happened under your...
I see the point. There's Chalipin going on here. I don't need to pull my donkey. As long as you pull my cow,
Right. Through
Chalipin, I automatically own the donkey.
Right, so now it's... Right.
So it's Pashas, it's my Rishus, the donkey.
Right.
So I need to bring the proof that it died before you even pulled the cow. So here too also, the suffix of the husband being the father's house versus the husband's house, depending where the suffix was discovered about the woman, that's the one who needs to bring the raya.
And that works out on both cases. Right.
Okay. Now the Gemara asks the question of the machad, of the needle that's found in the stomach of the animal. The Gemara asks, Mesi ve machad, v'shinim tos b'ovei beis ha-koses v'chule, that who has to bring the raya? So we said that the... If the shochet didn't give the money, then the owner of the animal, the Baal Behema, needs to bring a raya to collect the money. That the mocher has to bring a raya to collect his money from the shochet. Vamai, why is that true? Sveker bushus tovach, it's yalid. that the safek was developed in the reshus of the toveach when he took it, when he drew this,
right,
when he pulled the animal.
Because you only found out about it when he did the shechita. Before, we didn't know.
Right. So the toveach, the shochet, should have to bring the raya, not the namocher. So the Gemara says, "De yahiv toveach demei." It's where the toveach gave the money.
Which is most cases, like we said.
Right.
Okay. Yashav u'tovei et kaspo bechazara.
And he's the one now. He said, "Now really, toveach has to bring the raya, because since the safek developed in his rishus, he needs to bring the raya to collect payment from the mocher."
Right, he paid him, and he found the thing, and now that he said it's right, so it's in his rishus, and he already gave the money, so he has to ask, he has to bring the
money. Right. So Gemara asks, "My paska." So here, that's another question we said before. Why is this only a case where the lokeach is being toveya? As if to say that mochrim will only give their animal if they get paid? Is that really true? Is that some mochrim would give. They would trust. They would say, "Here's my cow, pay me afterwards." So not all mochrim. You can't give across the board, because some mochrim give before they receive the money. Others will wait to receive the money, then give. So my pasuk, why they make such a categorical statement? So the Gemara says, Stam de milsa kamad lo yavinish zuze lo yavinish echiyusa. The klal is that's how we understood that most people, unless they receive the money, are not going to receive the animal. So that is the most common practice, and that's why we assume it's a case where the money was paid, the shochet paid the money, and therefore it's on the shochet's problem to bring the raya that the mum, the chud, the macha, the trefa existed before he purchased this animal. Okay. All right, shkoyach, a good and chodesh.
What's the
katsuv?
What's
katsuv? Katsuv is a set.
Set.
Yeah, a set price, a set time, maybe.